Good morning. We find ourselves in the unusual circumstances this morning of suspending all of our services today, our scheduled programming, as well as our activities throughout the week. And as we have said in our other communication, we didn't do this flippantly. We didn't do it out of fear. We've done it to honor our governing authorities, and we've done it to honor the healthcare professionals and to protect our people. But we have decided to still look to God's Word together. And that's a beautiful thing that we can do. And I trust that our church family is having opportunities to gather together with their family and their loved ones and hopefully worship Jesus together, even though we don't get a chance together. So today we're going to look to God's Word. Our passage is Mark 4. I love that passage. It's a passage of great comfort because it points us directly to Jesus Christ. So let me start with prayer and then we'll get rolling. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to open your Word. Even when we can't gather, I pray that you would touch our hearts, especially with the fears that are being experienced in light of the coronavirus, and even more so because of all that's being said and communicated about it, some true, some false. We ask that you would give us the ability to hear from you and experience your grace in all of its sufficiency and all of its fullness for our lives this morning as we open your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mark 4 deals with life stuff that we are always trying to figure out. It deals with fear, it deals with faith, and these are things that we just always are trying to get a handle on. Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And you know, one of my favorite sayings is that God has rigged life so that we have to trust Him. Well, this passage drives it home here in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And even better, it points us to the power and love of God through Jesus Christ to meet us right in the midst of our angst. Fear is very real. There is good fear. There is good fear that causes us to run away from a wild animal like a bear or a mountain lion to get away. There is a good fear that causes us to obey laws so that we won't be arrested or do time in jail. But there's also a bad fear, and it's an irrational fear. It's a fear that isolates. It's a fear that most importantly draws our focus away from Jesus Christ, who can actually lead us through the storm of our fears. Followers of Jesus are not immune to fear. And I want to be clear on that. I don't want you to think that just because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, everything is happy-go-lucky. And you will just fly around on soft clouds here on earth and eventually in heaven. That's not the case. We live in an imperfect world. We are imperfect people. But we do have Jesus Christ, and we have His grace. We have His character. We have His promises that we can lean on. And today, we get to look at a passage of His life here on earth. Many of us are experiencing fears in the midst of the coronavirus, a global situation that's altering how we live. And so here's what we're going to see this morning, that fear gives us the opportunity to grow in grace. And fear gives us the opportunity to go in grace. It can be an essential part of our spiritual development as we learn to a greater degree and experience the power and love of God and learn to trust Him and are more focused on Jesus. And it can be an important part of our growth spiritually by sending us out to go as God has called us to do, offering the power and love of Jesus. So let's look at Mark 4, 35 to 41. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we'll look at it quickly. On that day, when evening came, He said to them, that's Jesus speaking, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with them. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We see Jesus here as the one who has rebuked the wind and the wave, but he also rebukes the disciples in the midst of it. Let's start at the beginning, verses 35 and 36. We have the setting there on that day when evening came. This is the end of a long day. It's the end of a long, exhausting day. Jesus has been teaching all day long. He's been teaching his disciples and trying to focus them what it means to become like the Master, Jesus Christ, what it means to obey the Father. He's also been teaching crowds who are coming from all different places spiritually, and he's trying to give them truth and grace in the midst of great spiritual warfare. So it's a long, exhausting day. It's now evening, and Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." And I picture him here as the mother of little children, because we read that not only are the disciples going there, he's now under their care, they take him in the boat, but we've got lots of other boats following. It's like the mother of little children who has taken care of them all day, gotten them in bed, and they still need her. The crowds are following, but Jesus is with the disciples. The disciples are following Jesus. He's the one that said, "Let's go to the other side." And so they are with him, and they're willing to take him. In fact, they think it's great. They're professional fishermen for the most part, most of them. And they are used to the Sea of Galilee, and they are more than happy to take him with something that is in their wheelhouse, a boat on the lake. And they do it. They are just rollicking along. They have a false sense of security that nothing can go wrong. After all, this is what they do for a living. It's sort of like us, isn't it? A few weeks ago, we had no worries about groceries, certainly not about toilet paper. What are people talking about, this thing that might shut down schools and all of that? Well, maybe in undeveloped countries, but certainly not in America. How many of us were trusting Jesus through our daily routine and for our daily bread, our daily provision back then? Or were we just rocking along saying, "We got this"? Well, that's what the disciples were doing. And all of a sudden, a problem arises in verses 37 and 38. We read, "There arose a fierce gale of wind." It's hurricane strength, basically. And what happens is the waves are starting to break over the boat. And so we get to, it literally says in the original language that the waves are throwing themselves into the boat. So this is a storm to beat all storms. This is not just some gentle breeze that has come along. This is not a brief thunderstorm that's passing through. This is a gale force wind and a gale force storm, and the seas are pitching back and forth. You remember the location of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 600 to 700 feet below sea level. There are 3,000-foot cliffs on the side, so it creates quite the wind tunnel, and it creates quite the storm on the sea when the wind and the storms kick up. And that's what the disciples are facing. Have you ever faced that in your life? I faced that one time at summer camp in college. Up in Colorado, we were in a reservoir which had a dam down at one end, and it was lined with mountains on the sides. And we just went out on a lazy afternoon, took about 8 people in this 20-foot boat, and went over to a place far, a few hundred yards away from the dock to have a picnic. And all of a sudden, this storm blew in, came over the mountains. We had no idea that it was coming. And the dock was on the north end of the lake. We were toward the middle of the lake on the south. And so we had to travel north, and the waves were actually breaking over the transom, coming in over the back of the boat. That was a scary, frightening time. I'm sure you can think of things in your life. And I'm sure that there are elements of this coronavirus global situation that are touching you that deeply with scare and with fright. Our fears feel like they are throwing themselves at us, like the waves that were throwing themselves into the boat. Here's what I've heard this week from our people. I've heard from people that they are concerned about paying their rent. I've heard from other people that they're concerned about lost wages or even losing their job. They're confused. What can this mean for my life as I knew it? I've heard from people that say, I am high risk. I'm scared. I've heard from other people, younger people, that say, I'm immunocompromised. I'm scared. This could be a difficult challenge for my life. I've heard from people who are extremely compassionate, that are very concerned about their grandparents or even just mom and dad. And certainly concerns about groceries being replenished and cleaning agents and all kinds of things, not to mention thinking about the politics and how it's been weaponized and politicized and all kinds of things. All of this has come like a fierce gale, very surprising to us in the last few weeks. We can identify with the disciples. All that they depended on as professional fishermen was tested, and it was found wanting. And that's really true in our lives, isn't it? All that we have set as routines, all the things that we were in control of in life has been tested and found wanting. And fear has crowded out faith. So what do? Well, they call on Jesus at this point. He is at rest in the back of the boat. He's at rest because he's trusting the Father to carry him through with whatever mission the Father has given him, that he's not in danger. He is at rest in the back, probably, scholars tell us, under the helmsman bench. And the pillow is probably more of a sandbag used for ballast. But it's a picture of peace in this roller coaster of waves because he's trusting the Father. They call on Jesus, and Jesus solves the issue. We see that in the first part of 39. He's got a solution, and it has to do with the authority of his voice, the power of his word. Nature obeyed him when he created the universe, and nature obeys him now. And he looks at the wind and the waves, and he says, hush, be still. Do you know that in the Gospel of Mark, he uses those same words? It's literally the words, be muzzled, when he cast out demons. He is exercising power and authority that no one on earth can exercise. And we are drawn to him because of his power and the love that he shows in caring for the disciples here. Certainly, one miracle is that the disciples, or that the wind and the waves stop. He's able to control that. Probably the greater miracle is that the sea becomes like glass. This would be a great time to go water skiing. It is so sudden. That's an incredible miracle. Why? Because of the power of Jesus' word, because the disciples finally called on him. You see, in the Gospel of Mark, the miracles reveal three things about our Lord, and we see this pattern all the way through. It reminds us that he is compassionate, and here we see the love of the Lord for his disciples. He cares for them. He takes care of their pressing need. He takes care of their great fear. We see power, compassion and power. So here we see obedience of nature. He has powerful authority over something that no human being can control. And thirdly, not only compassion and power are exhibited in his miracles, but his sovereignty. He is in control. He was in control before the storm happened. He's in control during the storm. He'll be in control afterward. He is completely sovereign. He is free to do as he wants to. He is wise to do as he wants to. And he is loving to do what is in our best interest. Nothing is beyond His control. And we need this reminder today. We need to experience the power and love of God, to be reminded that He is in control when we are not. And truth be told, we're often not in control. But as we experience the power and love of God, He will calm our hearts and help us function. Next, we see two responses here in verses 40 and 41. He says to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" We see the love of Jesus. He has calmed the wind and the waves, and now He rebukes the disciples. And I call that the love of Jesus because He cares enough to confront them. He wants to draw them out. He wants to see that they can trust Him no matter what is going on. He's essentially saying, "You've traveled with me. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me teach with authority. You've seen me forgive sins. You've seen me heal diseases. And yet, at this point, do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid?" And perhaps the question of Jesus needs to be asked of you and of me. Why are we afraid? It's because fear has crowded out faith. And perhaps it's because, like the disciples, we know a great deal about Jesus, but we haven't translated that into trust. We know He's powerful. We know He's loving. We know He's sovereign. But that doesn't always affect how much we trust Him moment by moment. And Jesus has given us the opportunity here in the midst of the fear, the coronavirus, and everything else that's going on in life, to recognize that we can trust Him moment by moment for His character and for His promises. Well, the disciples are in awe. They've experienced His power and His love through the storm and through His rebuke. And so what do they say? They're very much afraid. They're very much in awe. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? You see, here what's going on. The disciples had no idea, no way of knowing, that this storm is essential to grow their faith. This storm, this fear that they have experienced so much at the core of their being, is necessary to draw them back to Jesus. They let fear crowd out faith, but Jesus speaks to them and calms their hearts. And He does that with us as well. He's calling us back to Himself. He wants us to see Himself through this. And so I want to offer just a couple of lessons. And I would say the first one is that fear is an opportunity to grow in grace. Like I said, fear is very real. But that's not how Jesus designed life for us to live. It's not what He wants for His followers. What fear does is it creates this world where the only things that exist in this world are me and the threat against me. You and whatever is threatening you, whatever it is about the coronavirus and the fears there, and that's your little world, and it isolates you from others. And when we concentrate on that and we obsess with it, we become even more fearful, and the anxiety goes through the roof. And that's normal. We've experienced a lot of that in our lives, not just with the coronavirus. But Jesus is speaking to us here, because when we get isolated, then functionally, God is not there. He is not present in our mindset and in our hearts. And Jesus is calling us back to trust Him. We know God can do things. We know that He can do anything and that He is fully in control. And so what do? Well, typically our first response is not to be drawn to Him in trust. Our first response is like the disciples. Since we know He is all-powerful, our next thought is, "You're all-powerful. You can get rid of this for me. Take care of it. Put hand sanitizer on the shelf when I go to the grocery store. Protect me from the virus." We look at that and we say, "You're not doing that." So we wonder if He cares. We wonder if He really does love us. Did you see what the disciples said there? "Do you not care that we are perishing? That's the first thing we do. We want to impugn his character. We want to call him out because he has not done what we would like to do. If we were in control, this is what we would do. Instead, he calls us to trust him through this. Here's where the opportunity presents itself if we are willing to pursue Jesus. Fear is the opportunity to grow in grace. Why? Because Jesus. Fear is the antidote, or faith is the antidote to fear. Faith turns us back to Jesus. Sometimes we come with accusations, but the key is that we can trust Jesus in our fear. Talk to Jesus in your fear. And here's the way I would word it. Here's the key point. Take your fear to the one who is always near. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus gave us the promise, I am with you always. He backed it up when the writer of Hebrews quoted him and said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We can trust Jesus. We can look to him. Take your fear to the one who is always near. You see, our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. If you walk out on thick ice, if you have faith in it, you can cross the lake in the wintertime. But if you walk out on thin ice, no matter how great your faith is, you're going to break through and possibly drown. Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. And here's where our opportunity to grow in grace is. Jesus is calling us back to himself, and he invites us to get to know him better and to translate that knowledge into trust. And so I invite you, in the extra time we're going to have on our hands, evidently, to spend some of that time in God's Word, to spend some of it meditating on God's Word, to look directly at the character of Jesus Christ. My devotions this year, this calendar year, have been in the Gospels because I wanted to get to know Jesus better. I wanted to see him emerge. I didn't know this coronavirus was going to come along. I didn't know the fear, didn't know it was going to sweep our country. But I have greatly enjoyed, and my faith has been strengthened by seeing Jesus for who he is. That's what Jesus invites us to do. He invites us to get to know him. Just think quickly with me. John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. That's you and me. I invite you to look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 and 24, where we learn about the character of our Lord. His loving kindnesses never cease. And indeed, his mercies are new every morning. He uniquely tailors and crafts his mercy, his compassion for you each day. Trust him with that. There are all kinds of passages we could turn to. Romans 8 is a great passage as well. We see that those who love him experience his working together for good. All things work together for good. Why? Because Jesus is sovereignly at work in our lives. In the midst of fear. He's been at work since before this thing started. We can trust him. It's evident that Peter learned from situations like this. He experienced this occasion on the lake. He was a professional fisherman who knew how difficult this storm could be. He was scared completely through and through. And yet when he wrote years later, we read it in 1 Peter 5:7. He said, cast all your cares on him, on Jesus. And then he adds this little line. I don't know if he's thinking about the boat or not, but he says, because he cares for you. You see, fear gives us an opportunity to grow in grace. We've got to take hold of this opportunity, and we've got to look to Jesus, because our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith, and he is the object of our faith. I want you to learn his character this week as you look to his word. I want you to learn his promises, and I want you to talk to him about your fears. I want you to embrace and experience his power and love. Be still and know that he is God. Fear gives us the opportunity to grow in grace. And then finally, fear gives us the opportunity to go in grace. you and I have the opportunity to be Jesus to those around us. It may be the members of your own family, whether they're in your household or apart. It may be the neighbor next door. It may be friends on social media. You have plenty of opportunities to be Jesus to them, to share your fears, to vent your feelings, but to point them to Jesus, to say, here's what Jesus has done for me. Here's who he is, and here's how I am trusting him through this. Look at the people around you. They're experiencing the same fears. They're isolated. They're lonely. They're at the end of themselves. They've lost control. They're vulnerable. And I want you to choose not to be fear-mongering and continue to discuss all the rumors and thoughts that are out there, but to be faith-building in this opportunity to present the gospel to those that don't have the hope of life to the fullest in Jesus Christ and in the free gift of eternal life. But be those who just live the gospel by offering kindness and joy and serving others. Find ways to serve them even though we can't gather. Offer the power and love of God to those around you. The truth is, we don't know where this virus is going. We don't know what life is going to look like next week, much less a month or 2 months from now. And so fears will continue to bubble up. But the greater truth is this: we can fully depend on the person of Jesus Christ. We can trust his character, his love, his power, his sovereignty, and we can trust his promises that nothing, no fear, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus for us. We can trust the promise that we can cast all our cares, all our fears, all our anxieties on him, because he cares for us. He is sovereign over the storms. He is powerful over the storms of our lives, and he is loving to draw us to himself. Take your fear to the one who is near. Talk to him about your fears. Get to know him in a fresh way and understand his grace and experience it. And then go, offer it to others. I'm really glad we had this opportunity, even though we couldn't gather, which really hurts my heart as pastor. I'm glad we could look at God's word and think about Christ and his work in our life. We're going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to entrust you to the Lord. We are available. Please don't hesitate to email or call or text. When you're experiencing deep fears, and the staff members, the elders, your ministry leaders in your ABF, we will be happy to pray with you over the phone. Please let us do that. Let me pray for us now. Father God, thank you for the privilege of opening your word. Thank you for the strength that your word brings to us and the guidance. Your word is living and powerful and active. And certainly you reveal the motives of our heart, the intentions of our heart. And our hearts are very fearful at times now. And we pray for the grace to be able to trust you, Jesus, to be able to experience you in a new way, to turn all that we know about you into really relying on you, depending upon you. And let us experience your grace and your peace and your joy through the power of your presence. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.